that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wanted to make Adam, the angel asked him the hikmah behind making, creating this human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُوا فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 30. And when your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to place on the earth a Khalifa, they said, are you going to place therein one who's going to make mischief and cause the shedding of blood, while we glorify and praise you and magnify and sanctify, for lack of better word, you? He said, I know that which you do not know. So we know that there's a relationship between the angels and Adam, at least. Of course, the human being, but Adam, firstly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to make sujood to Adam when he finished his creation. And then he ordered that the blowing of the ruh, the soul, be inside, be blown into that creature Adam. And with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّنْ طِينٍ. And when your Lord said unto the angels, surely I'm about to create a mortal out of teen, out of clay or mud. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. And when I have fashioned him and breathed into him of my spirit, then fall down before him in sajda. And we know that this sajda wasn't the sajda of ibadah, because they only worship Allah. This is the sajda of takreem and tashreef, of honor and respect. And we also know that, and this is Surah Al-Sad, Surah 38, verses 73 and 72. Yes.
So you can prove, from that point you can prove that that's the reason why Iblis made a statement that I'm better than him.
I don't understand.
Because they were honoring him.
Are you saying? Is you saying from this we can conclude that Iblis, this is the reason why Iblis comes is better than
he
Adam?
Then he made a statement.
No, the reason why you know he was better is clear. It's clearly mentioned in the Quran. He said, "Khalaqtani min nar." If you created me from fire, you could create him from mud. That's the reason. That's the reason why he said he's better.
I'm saying that is that also the reason why he made that statement?
The reason why he made what statement? No, which statement?
Because showing his that saying that he was better than him. Adam.
I'm saying, but I'm not understanding. What's the full verse here?
Because they bow down, honor Allah's creation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just felt that he couldn't do it.
Yeah, but the reason, once again, that he didn't want to do it is because he felt that the thing that he was created from was better. He said, you created me from fire and you created it from this, from the fiend. This was the reason why he felt it was better. You good?
Okay.
That's not out of
No.
I mean, that's, I'm missing something, that's the thing. It's, I don't think you're completing.
It's okay.
I'm going to learn it too. I'll say something in the back of me.
Would that also be true to say, well, by him saying that he was created from fire, would that also be true to say that he's not an angel?
Yes, but, yes, we'll leave it like that, yes. Yes. He's, the brother is saying, for those people who can't hear, he's saying that when Iblis said that he was created from fire, that isn't this a proof, isn't this an additional proof that he wasn't of the angels? Because he said that قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ أَخَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ, that I'm better than him, you created me of fire while you created him of clay. So this is an additional proof that the angel, or that Iblis is not of an angel. But there's also something you have to dispute that. It's not really strong, but they do have something. That's from 15?
It does. That makes sense.
That he wouldn't be of the angels.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is the proof. This is one additional proof. Yeah, definitely one additional proof. Then we have a hadith regarding the direction of the angels. The angels directing themselves or turning themselves towards Adam, having a relationship with Adam now. After this creature is created, then we have now some evidences that they now turning towards him for some type of dialogue at least, or direction with him. We have the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that is collected by Imams of Bukhari and Muslim. It says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خلق الله آدم على صورته. Allah created Adam in his image. Allah created Adam in his image. طوله 60 ذراعا. And the length of him was 60 cubits. C-U-B-I-T. T is in Thomas, not C-U-B-I-C, as in Charles. It was 60 ذراعٍ, 60 cubits tall. فَلَمَّا خَلَقَهُ, and then when he created him, قَالَ اِذْهَبْ فَسَلَّمْ عَلَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ النَّفَرِ. He said, go and give the salutations of As-Salaamu Alaykum to those individuals there, to this group. وَهُمْ نَفَرٌ مِّن مَلَائِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ جُلُوسٌ, and they were a group of the angels who were sitting. فَاسْتَمِعْ مَا يُحِيُّونَكْ, and listen to how they're greeting you. فَإِنَّهَا تَحِيَّتُكَ وَتَحِيَّتُ ذُرِيَّتِكَ. فَذَهَبَ فَقَالَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقَالُوا السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. قال فزادوه ورحمة الله. He said, listen to how they're greeting you. And he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, because surely they're greeting you, this is your greeting and the greeting of your offspring, of your progeny. So he went and he said, Adam that is, ﷺ, As-salamu alaykum. And then they said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And then he said that they increased it with wa rahmatullah. Hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim. So this shows that now that the creature was created, they're starting to have a relationship with the human being, Adam, alayhi salam. Moving on with the relationship of the human being, with the angels, with Adam, we also have proof, authentic, alhamdulillah, that the angels washed and buried the body of Adam when he died. that when he died, his children didn't know how to bury him. And we have a hadith that's in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim and the Mu'jam Al-Tabrani, the Mu'jam Al-Awsat of Al-Tabrani, that the angel taught the human being, meaning the children of Adam, how to bury him. This hadith, the chain of it is authentic, and it's on the authority of Ubayy رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما توفي آدم غسلته الملائكة بالماء وترى وألحدوا له وقالوا هذه سنة آدم في ولده. It says that when Adam died, the angels washed his body an odd number of times with water. And they buried him. And they said, the angels, هذه سنة آدم في ولده. This is the sunnah of Adam concerning his progeny. In other words, this is how the human being is supposed to be buried. You have something to
say? Yes. According to scripture, that came to
a... When you say according to scripture, what do you mean? Oh, you mean according to that book called the Bible, yeah. Gotta be real careful. Don't say according to scripture. Because scripture is only the Quran and Hadith.
Okay.
The Bible is not considered scripture.
When it's spoke about when the natural place, he didn't know how to do his brother to approach him now. He's cracked the earth, that's what he started. But now you're saying that before that
thing? No. I don't know the reference in the Bible for this, but there's a verse in the Quran that explains that Allah sent a raven or a crow down to show how to bury Habil. Are you saying now, you're asking, is this...
Which one took place first?
Did
that take place first, or
was
it
Adam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows which one took place first. I don't know. And I'm not going to assume, using my rational knowledge, because it's not permissible to use your rational knowledge in things of the unseen, I'm not going to assume that Adam was very first. Because he could have died after his brother, his son was killed. Absolutely, in the Quran. Yeah. The brother's asking the question, is there any evidence of this bird coming and scratching the ground? Yes, absolutely, it's in the Quran. Clear story.
So,
yeah.
My question is, when the raven came down, was this when he was being buried, or is he saying when the angels watched Adam, so that definitely he would be there?
According to this hadith, is the explanation and the clarification that this is the first time that human beings were buried. And this was how, the details of what should be done. As far as the verse is concerned, on the bird came, Allah sent the bird with another bird, because the first explanation of it is also in the hadith, which says that this bird killed another bird. That's the further explanation of it. This bird killed another bird, and Habil, which they say is Cain, saw this, because the Quran doesn't mention that, but the hadith does. And it shows him killing the bird, and then and putting it in the ground. Alright? But this other hadith that we just mentioned, it gives a further elaboration because the verse of Quran doesn't mention watching. So we can assume that this was the first time that the person was washed and buried. Washed and buried. Now, great.
Wonder how something that he has done.
Right.
More so than that.
Yeah. Yeah, but But the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the bird was not to show us that he wanted to hide us, because Qabil, king, and we don't want to get into this thing about Qabil and Habib, but he had remorse. If you keep reading the verse, he had remorse for what he did, and Allah showed him what to do with him. So this may also, as the brother mentioned, may be an indication that this is not, this verse of Quran is not showing us the first time that, or showing us what to do with the dead. That's the point. That the hadith is actually the hadith of Adam dying and the angels watching and burying his body is the first indication of what to do with the dead. And this one, this verse of Qabil and Habib, is actually, as the brother says, him wanting to hide his brother's body out of shame, not to actually bury the person. You see? And I think that's what you were referring to. That's what you were referring to. Yes.
We follow
that. Yes. Absolutely. You want to say something else? You want to say something?
I'll mention it later.
About the 60 cubits?
Yeah. What's the beginning of the hadith?
Khalaq Allah. The brother's asking the question about, he says, I'll ask later, but I don't think he's going to ask later. It says that I don't think he should ask later. The brother's asking the question about the statement of the hadith that says, Khalaq Allah Adama ala suratihi. Allah created Adam in his image. And then it says, Tuluhu Sittuna Zira'an, that his height was 60 cubits.
Because before, you know, I never accept, you know, when a Christian said that Allah was created in Allah's image, I thought it was speaking of poop, even though I read this before. But now I can agree.
Yeah, the brother is saying that he used to, say it again.
I used to think he that used when to Christians say that Allah was, that man was created in Allah's image, I thought this was a statement of poop.
It is. It is a statement of kufr. So how do we understand the hadith?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we know that Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like him, and he is the السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So we always go back to that verse, the bailout. That's the bailout verse. You always go back to that, because whereas we don't understand something, you always go back to that verse. So later committed he said, there's nothing like him. And then again Allah says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, and there's nothing comparable to him. Then you look, the second point is, if you look at the ayah, excuse me, if you look at the hadith, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَا عَلَى صُورَتِهِ طُولُهُ سِتُّونَ ذِرَاعًا, his height was 60 cubits. Now you know, this is something specifically being mentioned here. If Adam looked like Allah, or was like his image, then we can safely say that Allah Azza wa Jal, Allahu Akbar, is 60 cubits. If Allah created Adam in his image, then are you saying Allah is 60 cubits in height? That's the second point. The third point is that very, very rarely, and mostly, in most cases, in the Arabic language, the pronoun refers back to the closest noun, not the farthest noun. So when Allah is saying, when the Prophet is saying, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ, he's saying, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ عَلَى صُورَةِ الْإِنسَانِ. That the pronoun, Allah created Adam in his image, the pronoun his means the Adam's image. The image of the human being. How the human being was going to be. And Allah A'lam. And also there's another hadith that says, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَةِ الرَّحْمَنِ. Allah created Adam in Al-Rahman image. And this one is not authentic. Alhamdulillah.
So how do you deal with that situation?
Saying that Allah created Adam in his image?
Yes.
Laysa kamithlihi shay?
I mean, yeah, but
there's nothing like it.
That text is
what text?
But is that text is like it's similar to the hadith.
What text?
In the distorted book.
In the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah, well theirs is wrong and ours is right. And the explanation of ours is different from that explanation. Their explanation is saying in Genesis that we created man in our image. They mean that the human being is the representative of Allah, meaning in actually in his image.
Okay, no problem.
But for us, we don't believe it that way because we believe the way I just explained it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Could we say when Allah comes out and spoke to Moses face to face?
Inshallah, if this is about prophets, let's leave this until we come to the prophets.
It's
about the angels? Yes, let's stick with the angels for someone. Okay, we also have another hadith that's in the authentic collection that angels wash the bodies of martyrs. So it's just not prophets are being washed by angels, there are also other human beings are being washed by angels. We have the hadith, and does anyone here know the name of the companion that was washed by the angels? Anybody know? Nobody?
This is at the Battle of Badr.
Absolutely, I think. This was at the Battle of Badr. And what was the companion's name? His name was Hanzala ibn Abi Amir radiallahu anhu. It says, استشهد في معركة أحد. Excuse me, أحد, not bad. أحد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه. It wasn't Badr, it was أحد. And it says that after the death of Hanzala, the Prophet عليه السلام said, إن صاحبكم تغسله الملائكة يعني حنظلة. فسأل الصحابة زوجته فقالت إنه خرج لما سمع الهائعة وهو الجنب. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لذلك غسلته الملائكة. This hadith is collected by Al-Hakim and Al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan, and the hadith chain is Hasan, according to Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani, and also according to Al-Hafiz Ibn Asakir, with an authentic chain of Al-Aws. There is another hadith similar to this one. This hadith says that the angels wash the body of your companion. That surely your companion is being washed by the angels, the Prophet says, meaning Hanzala radiallahu anhum. Then the companion asked whose wife? Hanzala's wife. She says, إنه خرج لما سمع الهائعة وهو جنب. And once again, for the sake of the tape, you don't know, I mean, those who buy the tape are listening to my voice. These are my translations. I'm not getting these translations from the actual book. So any mistake on the translation of their mind is not, I'm not a professional translator. And once again, if you check with Sheikh Anwar or Mujahid or some of those other more, extremely more capable brothers than myself, you let them listen to it and let them give you a better translation, inshallah. But it says that she said, when he left, meaning to go out to the battle, he heard the Al-Ha'iya. The way I understand Al-Ha'iya is the battle cry. He heard the battle cry, and she said, and when he went out, wahua junub, he was in a state of sexual defilement when he went out. In other words, he was so anxious to go out in jihad in the Battle of Uhud that when he heard the cry, let's go out and fight, you know, whatever the cry of battle was at that time, he got up from his wife and ran out, and he got killed. And so the angels watched his body. Yes. Hanzala ibn Abi Amir. Hanzala. With a wall. Hanzala ibn Abi Amir. And there is another narration, as I mentioned, Ibn Asakir, with an authentic chain, that the Al-Aus was a people of Arabia at that time. They used to brag that one of them was brag in a positive sense, not in a negative sense. They used to brag that one of their people was watched by the angels, and it was Hanbal. Okay, now we'd like to, since we just talked about the relationship of the angels with Adam, now we're going to talk about the angels relative to us, the common human beings. We know that there is some relationship between Adam and us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these angels for quite a few reasons. That their functions are just not to worship Allah, but their functions are also to interrelate with the human beings. Even though we can't see them, we know that there is a relationship between us and the angels. And we like to talk about their role in detail now with the human beings. One of both of the angels with the human being is how they are sent to form the human being in the womb. The formation of the fetus and the embryo and the zygote and this whole creation in the womb of the human being. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith collected by Imams al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه أربعين يوما ثم يكون في ذلك علقة مثل ذلك ثم يكون في ذلك مضغة مثل ذلك ثم يرسل الملك فينفخ فيه روح ويؤمر بأربع كلمات فاكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي أو سعيد. That surely one of you is formed in, as a creation in the belly of his mother's womb, or the belly of his mother, for 40 days, then he will be an alaqa, hanging on the wall of the womb of the woman, and something like this. Then he will be a mudra, which is this fetal type of creature that we are in our mother's womb. Then an angel is sent to blow into this creature called the human being the ruh, and it is commanded with four things, and we know that those four things which are written down are the sustenance, the lifespan, the occupation, and if that person is going to be wretched or happy. But the highlighted point here is that the angel is the one that is responsible for blowing in the womb and forming the creature in the womb. Bi-idhnillah, by the permission of Allah. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the primary source of all these things. He's the one who causes everything. He's Al-Khaliq, and He's Al-Bari, and He's Al-Musawwir. He's the creator, He's the originator, and He's the fashioner. But He has angels that do these things for Him, and they don't do these things on their own power. They do it by the permission of Allah and by His might. So it's no contradiction in terms. And then we have another hadith in Bukhari Muslim on the story of Anas ibn Malik, رضي الله عنه,
that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَقَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالرَّحْمِ الْمَلَكِ, that Allah has entrusted the Muhaq, Allah the Muhaq, entrusted and gave the responsibility to the womb of the woman an angel. The womb of the woman is given, or the womb of the mother, to be more specific or more general, I should say. Be more general instead of saying woman. Be more general and say the womb of the mother. The womb of the mother has been entrusted by Allah the Most High with an angel. And it will say, أَيُّ رَبِّي نُطْفَةً أَيُّ رَبِّي عَلَقَةً أَيُّ رَبِّي مُضْغَةً فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَقْضِي خَلَقَهَا قَالْ أَيُّ رَبِّي ذَكَرْ أَمْ أُنْثَى أَمْ تَقِيٌّ أَمْ سَعِيدٌ فَمَا الرِّزْقُ فَمَا الْأَجُلُ فيكتب كذلك في بطن أمي. The angel asked, My Lord, O our Lord, or my Lord, or Lord, will it be a nutfa, which is just the very first part of the stage of creation of the child? Then the next stage is the alaqa. Will it be an alaqa? In other words, how far will it go in the womb as far as development? Then it becomes that creature that is like a lump of flesh. Then when Allah decides its creation, He says, the angel, will it be male or female? They ask the question. Right? Will it be wretched or sad? What will be the provision? What will be the lifespan? And then these things are written in the belly of the mother. Wretched or sad, meaning will it be in hell or heaven? Will it be in hell or heaven? Because all these things are written.
What does wretched mean?
Wretched meaning you're in hell, sir. Excuse me, wretched or happy. Wretched or happy. Excuse me, thank you very much. Wretched or happy. I don't know. Yes. Alhamdulillah. I'm in a little pain here, man. I can't think really well. Then we'd like to move now to the hirasa, the protection or the guardianship of the angels towards the human being. The guardianship, the supervision. The supervision of over the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 13th surah of the Quran, I believe it's surah Ra'd, the 10th and 11th ayah, سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَثَرَّتْ حَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله. A like of you is he who hides the train and he who noises it abroad. He who lurks in the night and he who goes freely in the day. For him are angels ranged before him and behind him who guard him by Allah's command. This goes back to what the brother over here was saying earlier today about the do these events, the plate glass falling on you or having a car accident or something like that, is this produced by the angels? Now we're coming to this, inshallah. Jazakallah kulla khair. The individual among the Sahaba that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu called Turjuman al-Quran, who was Abdullah ibn Abbas, he called him the explainer of the Quran. And I'm making this point emphatically because most people think that it is the Prophet that called Abdullah ibn Abbas Turjuman al-Quran. And it wasn't the Prophet, it was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud who called Abdullah ibn Abbas Turjuman al-Quran. Turjuman al-Quran Ibn Abbas, he said that the part of this verse that says lahu mu'aqibat, verse 11 of Surah 13, mu'aqibat are the angels that are the guardian angels. These are the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed to protect the human being from misfortune, calamities, accidents, death, ultimately. Alright? That they, the angels, are before the human being, as Allah mentions in this verse. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ, that they are before him and behind him. So Ibn Abbas says that these are the angels that Allah has entrusted to do this, and that they are protected. And then Ibn Abbas went on, he says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ قَدْرُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي قَدَّرَ أَنْ يَصِلْ إِلَيْهِ خَلُّوا عَنْهُ. It says, but when the time comes for that which Allah has decreed, when the occurrence of that time comes for that which Allah has decreed in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, when he told the pen to write 50,000 years before the creation, when that time comes for you to fall down the stairs, or your car to hit that car in front of you, or the car to hit the car behind you to hit your car, or for you to whatever, that angel called Mu'aqibat leave you. And then when the event is over, they come back. They're protecting you up until the time that Allah wants them to protect you. And we don't want to make this a class on divine decree. Inshallah, we'll leave it like that.
Alright, so the angels, these protecting angels are assigned after the birth of the child, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes. The guardian angels are, the brother mentioned making the statement, are these angels placed with the human being after the birth of the child? You said birth of the child?
Yeah, after the birth of the child.
After the birth of the child. Allahu Akbar. I don't know what the birth.
Okay, well, it's a reception, but whenever the guardian angels are assigned, is that the same something as Kareem is assigned as
well? This is something different. This is something different.
This is different.
Okay. Yeah. The brother's asking the question, is this the same time that the Kareem, which is another type of angel that we're coming to, inshallah, do they come to the human being the same time as the guardian angels come? This is another topic which we're trying to get to, inshallah. I hope we can, because I'm supposed to end in 15 minutes on the whole topic of the angels. So I don't know how I'm going to do it, inshallah I'll try. Mujahid, radiallahu anhu, one of the great tabi'un, he said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ إِلَّا لَهُ مَلَكٌ مُوَكَّلٌ يَحْفَظُهُ فِي نَوْمِهِ وَيَقْظَتِهِ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ وَالْهَوَامِ فَمَا مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٌ يَأْتِيهِ إِلَّا قَالَ لَهُ الْمَلَكُ وَرَاءَكَ إِلَّا شَيْءٌ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ فَيُصِيبُهُ. And a rough translation of this is, there isn't a servant. There isn't a servant except that an angel is entrusted to protect him in his sleeping time and his waking time, while he's asleep and while he's awake. From among the jinn, the men, or al-hawam are those creatures that are pest-like creatures. These are creatures that, like serpents and vipers and scorpions. And then he goes on, he says, فَمَا مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ يَتِيهِ. There's nothing that comes to him, right? Nothing of it comes to him, إِلَّا قَالَ لَهُ الْمَلَكُ وَرَاءَكَ, except that an angel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angel that's behind him, إِلَّا شَيْءٌ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ فَيُصِيبُهُ, except that Allah gives permission for that thing to happen to him. In other words, when Allah gives permission for that thing to happen to him, that's when it happens.
In the beginning of the Hadith, did it say that mentioned a servant was given the guardian angels?
It says, man in abdin.
It's not a servant.
It's not a servant.
In that case, then, it's not referring then to Al-Kufar, or is it considering Al-Kufar to be a servant?
The question is this statement, abd, referring to the Kufar? Allah A'lam. I don't know. Then we have another hadith. It says, وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ لِعَلِيِّ بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ, that a man said to Ali, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, إِنَّ نَفْرًا مِنْ مَرَاضٍ يُرِيدُونَ قَوْتَكَ وَقَتْلَكَ. فَقَالَ أَيْ عَلِي, فَقَالَ أَيْ عَلِي, says, إِنَّ مَعَ كُلِّ رَجُلٍ مَلَكَيْنِ يَحْفِظَانِهِ مِمَّا لَمْ يُقْدَرْ وَيُقَدَّرْ, فَإِذَا جَاءَ الْقَدْرُ خلي بينه وبينه إن الأجل جنة حسينة. That a man said to him about a group who have been, there's a group who have the niyyah of killing you, Ali. There's a group of people that have the niyyah to dispose of you. And Ali radiallahu anhu said, surely with every person, there are two angels that guard him from that which hasn't been decreed. Alright? When the decree comes, they leave him, that which is between him and the thing that's going to happen. Except إِلَّا الْأَجْلِ جُنَّةً حَسِينَةً, and that time span or that particular instance that it happens, that exact particular time, that thing becomes that thing would have been like a guard, like a guarding shield. Amen. So al-mu'aqibat, that's mentioned in this particular verse in Surah 13, we know from this that they are the guardian angels, and this is not a solely Christian concept to say guardian angels. And of course, I don't mean those guys up there in New York. It's spread all around the United States now, Curtis Sewell. I mean the real guardian angels, the ones without the red tan. Also in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظَةً حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتُ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُولُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّقُونَ. He, Allah, is the omnipotent over His servants. He sends حَفَظَةً, He sends guardians over you until when death comes over one of them, our messengers receive him and they neglect not. So here, once again, when the thing is decreed, that's when they leave. When the thing is not decreed, they stay with it.
What
are you? Verse 61 of chapter 6. Also, we know that the angels, as far as the relationship between the human beings, that the angels are entrusted with conveying the wahi, the revelation of Allah to the messengers and prophets, to the rusul and anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us and teaches us that Jibreel has almost, I say this with emphasis, brothers and sisters, that Jibreel has been all but, almost completely been entrusted with revelation. I say this way because Jibreel was not the only angel to bring revelation. He wasn't the only one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Jibreel. Okay, inshallah. We have a question from the sister, inshallah. And as soon as I finish the statement, inshallah, we'll address it. The angel Jibreel is specifically selected to send revelation. As Allah says, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوَّ لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. Say, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, who is an enemy to Jibreel, for surely he has sent down it, meaning the Qur'an, on your heart by the permission of Allah, confirming that which you have before you. This is chapter 2, verse 97, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 97. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the chapter called Shu'ara, you know this chapter? The poet? 26. Alhamdulillah. Chapter 26, Surah Al-Shu'ara, which is entitled The Poet, verse 193 and 194, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين. When the true spirit, take all this, when the honorable spirit has, or the trustworthy spirit has brought down, which the true spirit has brought down upon your heart, that you may be one of the warners, that you may be one of the warners. Alright? So we know that Jibreel, from these two verses, these two chapters and verses, that Jibreel specifically is the one who brings the revelation. But there was at least, or I should say, at most, two occasions in which the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam received revelation from an angel that wasn't Jibreel. At least, at most, two times. There's a hadith in Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that says, بَيْنَمَا جِبْرِيلُ قَاعِدٌ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم سَمِعَ نَقِيضًا مِنْ فَوْقِهِ فرفع رأسه فقال هذا باب من السماء فتح اليوم يفتح قط إلا يفتح لم يفتح قط إلا اليوم فنزل منه ملك فقال هذا ملك نزل إلى الأرض لم ينزل قط إلا اليوم فسلم وقال أبشر بنورين أوتيتهما لم يؤتهما نبي قبلك. And once again, brothers and sisters, this is my translation, so please forgive me. While Jibreel was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, meaning the Messenger of Allah, heard a sound called naqib. A naqib is the sound of a door when it opens. He heard a sound of a door opening from above him. The hadith goes on and says, he raised his head, he lifted his head and said, there's a door, this is a door from the heavens that has never been opened before this day. And there's an angel that's descending that has never descended before this day. And the angel descended and said, may you have glad tidings of two lights, L-I-G-H-T-S, two lights that are being given to you that have never been given to a prophet before you. And then he said what those things were. فَاتِحَةُ الْكِتَابِ وَخَوَاتِمُ الْبَقَرَةِ Surah Al-Fatiha and the last three verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. لَنْ تَقْرَأْ بِحَرْفٍ مِّنْهُمَا إِلَّا أُعْتِيَتَهُ
You will never ever recite one letter except one letter of them, of these two surahs, except that you will be given. You will be given. In other words, you will be given the reward for it, or given what's in it, or whatever. So this is one occasion that is a proof that Jibril didn't bring revelation. This is in Muslim. It's in volume 2 of Muslim, page 3, 8, 6, hadith number 1760. I'll prepare for that one, right? Alhamdulillah. Get it for the brothers. Also in the book called At-Tariq from Ibn Asakir with an authentic chain from Uzayfa رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said أتاني ملك فسلم علي. An angel came to me and said السلام عليكم. نزل من السماء. He came from the heavens. لم ينزل قبلها. And he never came before that time. فبشرني أن الحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وأن فاطمة سيدة النساء أهل الجنة. And he gave me the glad tidings that Hassan and Hussein are the leaders of the youth in paradise, and that Fatima is the leader of the young ladies in paradise. Allahu Akbar. رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Then, in another hadith, and you can find the second one I mentioned, you won't be able to find this in English, but alhamdulillah, you now have it in English because I just translated it. In another hadith, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and also in At-Tirmidhi, the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and also in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, on the authority of Hudhayfa again, it says, أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ أما رأيت العارض الذي عرض لي قبيل هو ملك من الملائكة لم يهبط إلى الأرض قط قبل هذه الليلة استأذن ربه عز وجل أن يسلم علي ويبشرني أن الحسن والحسين سيد شباب أهل الجنة وأن فاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة. He says that I have seen an arz which has been displayed before me just a while ago. Or, well, I guess we could say an arz, yes, something that's been displayed. A view, some type of display that has been displayed before me. He says he's actually talking to the companion that, you know, I'm seeing this, but you haven't seen this. And then he says that it is an angel from among the angels which has never descended to the earth before this night. Now, this is a little bit more specific now. This is telling you that this happened at night. He says that he sought the permission of his Lord, the Mighty, the Sublime, to give the salam to me, this angel. He sought permission from Allah to give the salam to me. Something else that we should really take note of. And he said, the Prophet said, he gave me the glad tidings that Hassan and Hussein are the leaders of the youth in Jannah and that Fatima are the leaders of the young ladies in Jannah. Then we have another hadith in the Musnad and also in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi with an authentic chain, alhamdulillah, on the authority of Ubayy ibn Ka'b رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أتاني جبريل وميكائيل فقعد جبريل عن يميني وميكائيل عن يساري
فقال جبريل يا محمد اقرأ القرآن على حرف. فقال ميكائيل استذبه فقلت زجري. فقال اقرأه على ثلاثة أحرف. فقال ميكائيل استذبه فقلت استزده. فقلت زجني كذلك حتى بلغ سبعة أحرف. فقال اقرأه على سبعة أحرف كلها شاف كاف. That Jibril and Mikael came to me. Jibril sat on my right side. Mikael sat on my left side. And then Jibril said, O Muhammad, read the Quran with one letter, one harf. Then Mikael said, Estazidhu. He said, seek increase on that. Seek to augment that. And then I, the Messenger of Allah, said, Zidni, increase me. And then he said, read it with three letters. And then Mikael said, seek to increase that. And then I said, increase me. And that happened until, that kept happening until it reached seven letters. Seven letters. And then he said, read it on seven letters, all of it is a healing and it is sufficient. Now the seven letters here mean the seven recitations of the Quran. Seven recitations of the Quran. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Quran was revealed on sab'atu ahl, seven moves of recitation. Also regarding the human being, and we've gone over the time, also regarding the human being and the relationship of the angels with us, is that we should be assured, as we mentioned earlier, that that just because or due to the fact that an angel came to an individual, that does not make them a prophet or messenger. Alright? And we have some examples. Who did someone mention? Maryam, Prophet Isa's mother, Maryam, and who else? Anyone else? Anyone else that anybody can remember that an angel came to that wasn't a prophet? Anyone? The time period was it?
Yeah.
Before the Quran was revealed. Well, we know Sarah, the Prophet Ibrahim's wife, Sarah. We know Maryam, Prophet Musa's, Prophet Isa's mother. We know Hajar, Prophet Ismail's mother. She went between Safa and Marwa. Fir'aun's wife, Asiya. And also we know who? Musa's mother. That's right. Musa's mother, angel came to Musa's mother. Is there something very interesting about this?
All of them
are women. And this is the reason why some of the scholars of the past believe that there's women among prophets among the women.
They were in fear of distress also. Musa's mother of this woman, direct.
The brother is saying that these incidences where the angels came to them, that they were in a state of distress. Let's see if that's all, the way true across the board. Was Mary in distress?
Oh, yeah, she was having a baby.
She had the baby. She had the baby though after the angel came. It's because of the angel by the permission of Allah that she had that baby.
The
And the same thing with Sarah. Yeah. Well, that's not about that theory. Huh? You got one just like I got one, and that's the one. But anyway, everyone that an angel comes to is not a prophet. The companions were sitting with the Prophet Muhammad and Jibril came. And also we have the story of a man who went to visit his brother and the angel stopped him on the road. You find this hadith. Alright? Now we don't have any more time. Maybe what we should do now is just ask general questions. Because this is just too much information. I'm very sorry, I apologize. But it's just too much information to give. And we won't be able to start the jinn and shaitan if we keep it up.
إنه
لقول كريم.
Watcher.
I can't think of that,
the actual word of the ayah. I can't
picture
it in that mind.
While he's looking for that, inshallah.
In kulli nafsin
lamma alayha. Oh, yes. This is in reference, this verse is in reference to the angel that protects us, yes. Yes, the so far. Right. I think we should take some questions now, inshallah. And I'm going to entertain the sister's questions first because they can't. Their sister says, I thought that Raqib and Atid were all guardian angels that sat on the right and the left. No, this is not true, sister. Raqib and Atid are not guardian angels. Raqib and Atid are angels that write only. That's it. That's all they do is write. They're not guardian angels. They're not. Yes. Yeah. Let's start over here.
I missed the explanation about the protection, the angels protecting you up until a certain point. You elaborated further.
You can get it from the brothers or something. Okay, next question. Yes.
Angels, they're created. They don't reproduce.
No.
And
the brothers asking the question, do angels reproduce? No.
They don't die.
They do die.
They do die?
Yes, they do.
When? What caused that?
And they will die when this whole thing will be destroyed.
Oh, I mean, when they are young demons, that's when the angels die. But
yes.
When they get this created, they're just too resistant, right?
Right. Yeah. They keep resisting, they don't get old, etc. Yes.
One question concerning one of Allah's names, Ta'ala. I heard you made the statement before, you know, up in Jersey, when we were talking.
that when Allah makes the nuzul, He makes the nuzul, and he's still above his arsh.
Does that have to do with the angels?
You said general question.
No. I take questions on the angels.
Okay.
Yes.
You just spoke earlier, I forget, we mentioned it, you got the angels still are still in contact today as far as coming to people. I think you said if they only come to prophets, then they stop at the prophets in the 100.
If someone wants to say that angels still come to the human being, Allahu A'lam, I don't know. But if they want to say that angels bring revelation to human beings, definitely I know that. No. No, absolutely not. But for me to say that angels don't come to human beings in the form of men, I cannot sit here and say that they don't. There's a sister who has a question. I'm a new Shahada. I was told a female in Tamar has ranks of angels with her. If this is true, can you tell me where I can find this information, inshallah? Allah, you better speak to your sister. May Allah bless you with accepting Islam. May Allah grant you Jannah. Please make dua for us. That's number one. Number two, if you were told that, please ask the person who told you that, because I've never heard this before. So ask them where they can give you the proof for this. That you have ranked with angels with you.
The angels during Hadith revealed that Anna came to the Prophet himself and told him that he didn't come visit him at a specific time because they don't think he was
there. Right. Let's make it step by step so I can remember. The brother is making the statement that the incident when Jibreel didn't come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he didn't come to him because
he didn't enter his home
because
the
angels don't enter where there are dolls and images or pictures. In relationship to our society today where almost everybody has a doll and pictures
and
statues,
how can you conceive that they still come?
Yeah, well, the ulama have done some elaborate explanation on which angels are coming. They say, some of them, that it's the angels of mercy that don't come. And I say, Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. He's mentioning the two angels of the time of Prophet Lut, alayhi salam, the angels of punishment.
If they came down during the people were doing the, you know, the major Quran, they saw the people committed before.
Right.
You know, so is that part of that argument?
Allah knows best, but the hadith specifically says they don't visit a house that has these things in it. So, let me help. And some people say that it means hanging pictures. Allah knows best. Yes.
So
no more questions from the sisters? Go ahead.
So that means that the argument about the angels still visiting us still, they still come because if we make them pray in our homes.
Oh, they come, yeah. But we're talking about in the form of a man. Do angels come in the form of men? That's what we're supposed to be talking about.
How can we tell if there was an angel that were coming?
That's what I'm saying. I don't even know how you can tell. You know, which wouldn't negate the fact that they're coming or not, but I just don't know how to tell.
Does it mean that, think of it, if we're in this room right now and someone was coming amongst us, does that mean that this would be someone that we've never seen before and it would disappear? Or just,
yeah, you know, if someone was to come in the room that was, if an angel came in the form of a man, one thing for sure, we know that he had to be extremely handsome, you know. So when the sisters see Denzel Washington, you know, they probably think he's an angel or something. No, he's just a Hollywood star that needs to take Shahada. That's what's going on.
When it falls to
Hadith, which speaks about in Yom HaJumah, when the first...
Right, but we're talking about angels in the form of men. Okay. And that's talking about angels in general.
Okay.
We do know that the angels come, and in the first hour they come, they write down, they come, they come to the doors of the masjid, and they write down those who enter the masjid, and the first person who comes in the first hour, or the first time period, not necessarily a literal hour, the one who comes in the first time period, they write that, and they get the reward as though they sacrificed a camel at Mecca. And then the person who comes in the second time period, they write them down as though they sacrificed a cow. And the third person is the person who has comes in the third period. The angels write them down as a person who has sacrificed a ram with big horns. And Mecca. All this means in Mecca. And the fourth person that comes in, it is though they have sacrificed a chicken. They write them down as sacrificing a chicken. And the fifth and final person who comes in the fifth time period is as though they had sacrificed an egg. They gave an egg. And then the angels close up their books and they go in and listen to the khutbah.
This is in the time between the Adhan, the first Adhan, second Adhan, and then the...
Allah knows best the time period. I don't know if it's between the first Adhan, the second Adhan, or the third Adhan, or the Muhammad. I don't know what time it is, but
okay.
I...
Now, you know, the appearance of an angel, right?
Yes.
In the 12th surah, speaks about Yusuf.
Let me just, you know, because the brother's saying now that in the 12th surah of the Quran, Surah Yusuf,
he was saying that the women said that he was so handsome that they cut their fingers.
Right. The women were saying that he was so handsome that they just started taking the knives and cutting themselves.
They had food and they
were
cutting their fingers, but he was so handsome.
Because he was so handsome.
He must be an angel himself.
Yeah, Denzel Washington had nothing on him, right? Nothing on the Prophet Yusuf. Alayhi right? See, this person's got to hear this kind of stuff. Right? They always talk about, you know. All right, go ahead.
Well, that was
right, and this is an indication, this ayah is an indication that at the very least, those people of that time were informed that angels were beautiful. And let you know that, right? We can deduce this. How could they make that reference if they didn't know? So some prophet had to have come to them and informed them that angels were beautiful in order for them to make that statement. They couldn't have gotten it from a regular human being. This is something that was unseen.
They probably don't come to people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels
could. Oh, no. Well, you mean that whatever specific angel was going to come?
I mean, for Allah Alam, because of the text, like, when they came to Yusuf alayhi salatu salam and Muhammad alayhi salam and some of the Sahaba, or the Sahaba, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they'll come to Law Island to, I'm talking about to come in the form of a person,
is that it? Yes.
Going back earlier, I mentioned about the, when you talk about the Sunnah, Islam, and the angels report magic, which was warning that they gave. And someone that brought up issue of magic, you can't simply go back over there. As far as you mentioned, I think.
No, we don't want to mention magic in this section. We want to, if we mention it at all, then I don't think we're going to talk about it. But if we do mention magic, we'll mention it with the jinn and the shaitan.
Right.
That's the more appropriate place to mention it. Which is coming up right now. Because before the end is 5 o'clock. And I haven't got to the jinn and shaitan yet. I got 1 hour or less to do with all the stuff they're going to take time to do.
What purpose would an angel have in coming down?
What purpose would an angel have in coming down?
Coming
in here? Because they worship us. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They like messages. They like to glorify Allah just like you do. And they love beauty. And they love good smelling things and good looking things. And they love to be around those who believe.
Isn't there a need
to
shake hands?
No. No. They don't come up and shake hands, no. Because they don't have hands. They have wings. Right, but that's what I'm saying. There's no proof that angels come in form of men again anymore. There's no proof of this. That's why we're saying.
But how they wings though?
We don't know how they look, but we know that they have them. And we know they're creatures that are spiritual creatures. They have these wings. And however they are, they're not. You're not being affected by them because they're all over the place. There's no doubt in my mind that they're in this message right now. No doubt in my mind. And my proof is that my evidence for this is the Prophet ﷺ said, there's no jama'ah where people gather together as a jama'ah in the houses of Allah, except that the angels go and look for them and seek them out and tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they're mentioning your name. They're saying subhanallah. They're saying alhamdulillah. And then they come and they hover over us and cover us with their wings. By doing what we're doing right now. This is the proof. Yes, somebody else? Yes.
I think earlier on you mentioned the person that we were at the accident when the freedom you had. Now, suppose we're fighting used to be about trying to get at the point of angels in our back.
Yeah, the brother is mentioning the statement that we mentioned about the mu'aqibat, the angels that are guardian angels leaving us when something is going to happen to us. What happens now when we're in a battle and we're fighting fi sabilillah? Go ahead.
This is the question. I want to know the possibility of
assisting. Yeah, this is mentioned in the Quran. How the Muslims were, we mentioned this, you may have been doing something else, but we mentioned how the angels assist the Muslims in fighting and killing the kuffar.
Yeah.
In the battle. The battle of Badr, another battle. Yeah. There is a verse. Yeah. There's a verse if you want to check this, brother, it's chapter 3, verse 123 and 125, where Allah says, نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةٍ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ إِذْ تَقُولُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ ربكم بثلاثة آلاف من الملائكة المنزلين بلى إن تصبروا وتتقوا ويأتوكم من فورهم هذا يمدكم ربكم بخمسة آلاف من الملائكة مصورين. Allah has already given you the victory at Badr when you were contemptible. So observe your duty to Allah in order to make you thankful. And when you did say unto the believers, is it not sufficient for you that your Lord should support you? You listening, Yaki? Listen. With 3,000 angels sent down to help you? Nay. But if you persevere and keep away from evil, and the enemy attacks you suddenly, your Lord will help you with 5,000 angels keeping on. Right? I mean, whatever.
All the things that we're talking about the angels, in the last few ayahs in the scripture of Baqarah,
that we have to believe the angels. It doesn't matter which way they are, or if we see them, we're going to see them. We have to believe them because it's the end of the
day. Right.
And also, my question
we is. We mentioned that verse in the beginning, the very first 4 minutes, I think.
And the question is there's a hadith on Rasulullah, I don't know if it's true or not, that say everybody has to go to Mars, you go a different way and go back to the world, so there's angels in the world looking for the people who are to mention.
Yes, this hadith is authentic. That when you go to the masjid, to go to the salat, as I mentioned about the other hadith, the angels go out and they look to see, the hadith is a Muslim, to go and see who they can see is going to the masjid. And they make dua for the human being. For the Muslims, they make dua for the human being when you make dua for your brother in his absence. For instance, a brother is downstairs or he's in the room and you say, Allahumma qul ma'lahu wa waladuhu wa barakuhu wa atayfuhu. Allah, please increase him in his property, his wealth, his children, and his livelihood. The angels will say when you make dua for him, may you have the same. See? So, and then also when you say Ameen in Salah, the angels also say Ameen.
When a deceased says, and whatever you say is good or bad, the angels say Ameen.
Yes. Yes. The angels say Ameen. In fact, the Prophet mentioned, warned us in what we make dua for. That's why we have to be very careful in not saying, man, go to hell. Because go to hell is dua. The angels will say, may you have the same. We have to be very, very careful. Watch what we say. See?
Especially on Friday,
because
1 hour,
that's right. That's right. Especially on Friday. But the relationship, I mean, we don't have enough time now, but the relationship of the angel with the human being is much, much more than this. They also incite us to do good. There's also a hadith that really shows you the mercy of Allah. And I'm going to stop here, inshallah. It really shows you the mercy of Allah. There's a hadith in the Tabarani's Mu'jam, Mu'jam of Kabir, that, excuse me, that says, that surely the servant, the Muslim servant, that when he commits a sin, when he commits a sin, the angel that's on the left, Atiz, the one that writes down, and this is also especially for the sister who said she thought that Raqib and Atiz were guardian angels, these are angels that write, the Prophet ﷺ said that the angel that's on the left, when you commit the sin, he lifts the pen for 6 hours. إِلَى النَّدِمَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهَ مِنْهَا. If the Muslim is remorseful and repents and regrets and seeks the forgiveness of Allah, the hadith goes on, the Prophet says, أَلْقَاهَا. He throws away the deed. He just dispenses of it. He doesn't write it down. But if he doesn't, وَإِلَّا كُتِبَتْ لَهُ. And if he does, he doesn't repent, after that 6 hour period is over, it's written down as one bad deed. Well, this shows you another relationship that the angels have with us.
Yeah,
yeah, and according to Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, he explains to some of us what the six sa'at means. This is the Arab measurement of hours, because they have their own time, they have their own clocks, right? No, the Arabs have their own system. It's a little bit different. It's much longer than that. Yeah. There's also, and we can't go on, but there's also some other situations that the angels don't go into. And also some people that they don't accompany. They don't accompany people who are wearing certain skins of animals. Nemeros, what is this, leopard? They don't go near people who are wearing leopard skins. They don't, Allah Allah, that's the way their nature is. They don't go in houses where there's bells. They don't go near people who have bells or houses that have these little cow bells, these little animal bells, right? They also don't go, there's another one, I can't remember.
Where do we find these folks?
In Muslim. We'll find them in Muslim, inshallah. And also in Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi. In Abu Dawood also. There's a lot of things we should have mentioned, but we don't have a lot of time, inshallah. We will,
He had mentioned that I was coming back, that the angels excited to be able to do it. Do you have something to elaborate on this point?
Yes. The brother is mentioning, where is the proof that the angels incite us to do good? And one proof for that, one proof for this is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Bukhari that says that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet alayhi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ يُسْبِحُ فِيهِ الْعِبَادِ إلا ملكان ينزلان فيقول أحدهما اللهم أعتق منفقا خلفا ويقول الآخر اللهم أعتق ممسكا سلفا. A rough translation of this is man and human. Every day two angels come down from heaven and one of them says, O Allah, compensate every person who spins in your cause. And the other angel says, oh Allah, destroy every miser. This is not directly related to inciting. But another one that is a reference to inciting is the hadith where Prophet Sulaiman, the son of Dawood, alayhi as-salam, said, لَأَكُوفَنَّ اللَّيْلَةَ بِمِئَةِ إِمْرَأَةٍ. I'm going to go and have sexual intercourse with 100 of my wives tonight. Allahu Akbar. تلد كل امرأة غلاما يقاتل في سبيل الله. Each of these women are going to have a boy that are going to go out في سبيل الله and fight. فقال الملك, and an angel said, قل إن شاء الله, say إن شاء الله. فلم يقل ونفي, but Prophet Sulaiman forgot, he didn't say it. He didn't say it because he forgot. فَأَطَافَ بِهِنَّ. So he had sex with them, all 100 of them, in one night. Allahu Akbar. وَلَمْ تَلِدْ إِلَّا إِمْرَأَةٌ مِّنْهُنَّ نِصْفُ إِنْسَانٍ. And not only one...